Leviticus 19. There's no way we're going to try to cover all this chapter tonight, but we don't have to. I mean, we just get to the very first of it here, and we'll see something real important. Leviticus 19, let's read the first two verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now he spake, God said to speak to all of the congregation. He didn't tell him, go give this to Aaron and the priest and his sons. No, no. The whole congregation gathered to hear this. And what did they hear? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Ye shall be holy. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. All right. Now the work of God concerning man is to produce a certain type of spiritual and moral character in man. What is the object of the law? Did God just spew these commandments and prohibitions out just arbitrarily, random, just cause? Or did they have a purpose? Did they mean something? What did they mean? Were they supposed to accomplish something? Or were they just God's wishes upon a hopeless mankind that would never be any different than what he is? No, I don't sound like what God's saying to me. Ye shall be holy. Gather them all together, Moses, and you tell them that I said, you shall be holy. Who? Who's you? My people. The people of God will be holy. They always have been. They always will be. Doesn't matter what kind of wicked generation we live in. Doesn't matter what kind of state the churches are in or the religion of the time is in. God's people are holy. That's a fact. They say no such a thing as anything else. God's people are not profane. That's the opposite of holy. Never. Never have been, never will be, since God chose him out of people in this world. Now, all of the congregation of Israel did not obey. Just like all the congregation of the churches does not obey. There's only a remnant. There's only a few. There's a mixed multitude. There's a multitude of people. But most of them just say, yeah. Some of them says, well, nobody can keep the law. Some of them says, the law has passed away. We're not under the law. I'm just as good as they are. You know, that's always been. It's always been that way. It's no different now. So the work of God concerning man is to produce a certain type of spiritual and moral character. It's to change us. Change us. This is what defines holiness. This is what defines holiness. The word is interpreted here in these few words that we read here in verse number 2. We're told what holiness is. The word's interpreted here to essentially mean a spiritual and moral likeness to God. Be ye shall be holy, for I am holy. For I, the Lord, your God, am holy. You shall be holy because I am holy. The law, well, let me just stick here. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. The law basically sets forth the character of those who have made God their refuge. Now, are you listening to me? That's the law just describes, if you will, the character of holy people. God made a difference between his people and the ungodly world. The godless people. The people that don't obey God, don't believe God, won't hate God. They're rebels against God. God gave the law to mark the difference between them. That's one of the things the law does. It marks the difference between the morals and character of the true children of God and the ungodly world around them. the law of God. Well, God chose him out of people and called them by his name. He made him a nation and gave him laws to govern their nation and their individual lives. The law of God's not just for the nation of Israel. The law of God touched every aspect of our life. Our private life, our personal life, our public worship, our national interaction. I mean, our national law to rule, civil law. God obviously intends for his people to be known by their moral and spiritual character, which is patterned after God's character. This is not something that the old folks used to believe in, that we've learned better in this generation, that we're all sinners now and nobody does right. And even if you try to do right, you still do wrong because of that sinful nature you were born with and all of this garbage. It's never been that way in all of the history of God and his dealing with mankind. It's always been that God redeems a soul and they become different. And the law describes the difference. They're not like these immoral, whorish, filthy, defiled people of the land that are just breeding like animals. They're different. There's cleanliness. Morally and physically, they stand apart from the rest of the world. That's what the law all describes all the way through. And we've been looking at a lot of it. God created man in his own image and likeness. You've read that in Genesis, haven't you? God created man in his own likeness, in his own image and in his own likeness. And so, sin marred that image. Sin is what made man not like God. Made him completely different than God. And so the whole object of the law and the whole object of the gospel, the whole object of all that God's done since he began dealing with man after sin entered into the world, the whole object of it all is to bring man back into God's likeness. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's it. How can people miss this? How can you come up with a religion that permits and encourages sin and loose living and excuses it and mocks holiness and mocks righteousness and dismisses the law? And yea, makes the law something awful and something to be avoided and something to be hated and that's your enemy. And that only heretics believe the law. Where does that all come from? So the object of the law, I said, and the object of the gospel is to bring man back into God's likeness. Now you want to argue with that? Listen to this. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now what is it? What is God predestinate from the foundation? I mean from everything. From before the foundation of the world. For whom he did foreknow, before you were ever born, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, capital S. So what's God's purpose? That man, sinful man, would be redeemed, saved, made a new creature, brought back into the image and likeness of God, have the character, the moral character, the spiritual character that resembles God instead of animals. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, who is the express image of the Father. So, the purpose of God in the gospel in the law, everything that God's ever done is to bring man back into the likeness of himself, to make him like himself in his moral and spiritual character. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There it is again. We could go on and on and on. The Bible's full of it. That's what God's doing. That's what He's doing when He saves a soul. That soul is changed. He's not left to the same. He's not the same old sinner. He's not two people living in the same body. He is a new creature. And He's been brought back. And sanctification, the progressive part of it, is bringing Him back from glory to glory into the image of His Son, to be more like God. Psalmist said, I will be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. So if the law was meant to produce a change in character and morals, now do you think it was? You think it was? What were these people like? Oh, they worshipped idols. They ran naked and danced around a golden calf that they made. They'd been in Egypt. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago how they, for generations, 400 years, they lived in Egypt around all that nakedness of the land and ungodliness and idolatry. That's all they'd ever known for generations. And now God says, you shall be holy. You're going to be different. Your religion, your worship's going to be different. You're going to worship different than all of them. This is how you're going to do it. It meant to make a change. God meant for the law to make a change in the way these people lived and behaved and thought and conducted their lives. Meant to make a change in their morals. The last chapter talked about all the incest and sexual immorality, and God says, you will not do that, or you'll be cast out of the land just like them. The land will vomit you out just like it's vomiting them out for that filth and evilness. Well, so I do believe the law was meant to make a change in the people.
That's right.
Nobody can keep the law. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. God gave the law to just be ignored. God gave the law to have no effect whatsoever on the way people lived, the way they thought, the way they viewed life? No! Absolutely not. So if the law was meant to produce a change in character and morals, then the gospel should do much, much more. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Those were shadows and types and figures of things to come. We ain't living in the shadows anymore, and the figures and the types. We don't have to look at that to try to understand what God's doing. We know what He's doing. We know what He's done. He sent His Son, the Passover lamb. Yeah. And that's what we're celebrating here this time of year. You know, it's supposed to be what God done. Now, the idea that a person can be saved and on her way to heaven, while continuing to live a life of sin and low morals and have no spiritual knowledge or discernment, is absurd. And it's very much untrue. It's been a thing that people have understood all through the centuries. But see, this apostate generation that is lost has come up with this sin and religion idea that everybody's saved. And everybody's going to heaven. As I read the other night, the sodomite that's running for president, he's the only Democrat who claims openly to be a Christian and flaunts it. A sodomite. Quotes scripture. Goes to churches. And running for president. But he's a sodomite. All right, you don't have to go very far in the Bible to find out that is not the way it is. No. The Bible, God's law, says that is an abomination to God. So there's no way that you can be right with God and be a sodomite. No way. But that's the time we're living in. See, they've reinvented another religion that's not Christianity and it's not Judaism at all. It has nothing to do with it. This is the way it is. God gave the law to make a moral and spiritual difference in the character of the people. You going to be gods? What have we been studying about in Saul and David? Seth talked a little bit about it. Here we go, rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. To obey is better than sacrifice. What does God want? He wants you to obey the law. If you're His, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You can't say that you're mine, but you won't have nothing to do with the way I am. You identify with the world instead of with me. You don't want to be like me. You want to be like the world. You can't be mine. You shall be holy. And that's not holy. Sodomites are not holy. Oh my. The law laid down the basic order for things concerning holiness, which included instructions, it included commands, and included prohibitions concerning different things, but I'm just summing it up as briefly as I can and as short. Public worship, that was a part of the law. Do y'all understand that? Do you hear that? I hope everybody that hears this will hear this part. Public worship was a part of the law, and it was the first part. So you can't shuck public worship and say, I don't have to go to church, and I ain't going to church, and I'm not going to be a member of a church, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'll worship on my own in my own way. You cannot be a Christian and be that way. Now that's just the way it is. You can argue all you want to. You'll find out when you stand before God. If you're too stubborn to read the Word of God now and understand what it says, you'll find out when you face God. But I'm warning you, if you're listening to me, anybody, it's a part of the law of God. Yes. And it's still a part of the law of God. The New Testament says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. They think they don't have to do that. They don't think that's necessary. It's part of the law of God. Part of the law of God that brought you to Christ, if you came to Christ. If you didn't come through the law, you didn't get to Christ. You got some other Jesus if you got anything at all. Public worship. Civil laws. The law of God laid down civil law. That's for all the interactions among people. Like, you know, people getting stolen from, getting abused, and all the different ways that people abuse one another. God covered it all in His law about how you're supposed to treat your neighbor and other people. And what's to be done if you don't treat them right. God's law set down rules and guidelines and instructions and prohibitions for your personal life. Your personal, private behavior and morals. So true Christianity is a further development and revelation of God's law and His plan for man to make him holy because God is holy. See, Christianity is not, well, let me just stay with it. I wrote it down here. It's not a disconnect from all that God had done before for the previous 4,000 years. You hear me? Jesus didn't come and just cut the ropes and say, all that don't matter no more. We're starting over right here. That is not what happened. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And He did. And it's a continual thing. It's not something that changed over and everything. Yeah, it's different. There's some things that did change because Jesus came and fulfilled, such as He is our Passover. We don't sacrifice lambs on the Passover anymore. We don't do that because He is our Passover. That Passover lamb was a prophetic thing, and it was fulfilled in Christ. So we don't do that anymore because He is our Passover. We had the Lord's Supper a week or two ago here. That's kind of what we were doing. He's our Passover. It's not a new religion that threw away all the old and started from scratch again. It's not a disconnect from what God did before and His plan to redeem man from his sin. It is the final structure on this earth for the redeemed of mankind to be made holy before God reaps the earth and Jesus comes for His bride. You hear me? Y'all listen to what I just said. The church age is the time of the Gentiles. The time we live in now, since Christ came, it is a continuation of what God was doing from the beginning. It's not something totally different. The law is our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. The law, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away until all things be fulfilled. And it's not all been fulfilled yet. So it's absolutely wrong to think of salvation as the watered down, powerless, anemic thing that's presented by the apostate churches in this generation. You hear me? It makes me... It's exasperating to me to hear people who've got doctor's degrees in theology from some school somewhere that do not understand this simple truth that you cannot miss by just lightly reading through the Bible. You can't miss this. God has always been about this. He changes people. Yes, sir. What was the difference between David and Saul? What was the difference between David and Nabal? God was the difference. Did Nabal love the law of the Lord? Was God his light and his salvation? No, he was a profane drunkard. A man of Belial. He's such a man of Belial that a man cannot even speak to him, his servant said. Nope. Saul claimed to have God, but he didn't keep God's commandments. He wanted to have religion and have identify with God some way, but not be like God. And David's the one that said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. David's one said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked thing in me. Yeah. David's one said, let the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. See the grand difference 3,000 years ago in people of God and people that didn't know God. What was the big difference? The law showed the difference plainly. And it's still the same way right now. I mean, we still know right and wrong by the law of God. We don't just make our own way. See, that's what the world's done now. They've said, well, we're not under the law. So it's everybody for himself. It's just whatever you feel convicted about. If you don't feel convicted about it, then it's not wrong. And you got no right to judge me. And you got no right to say anything about it. No, but the law still says thou shalt not.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
If the law set God's people apart, how much more should the gospel set God's people apart?
better promises, a better covenant, I mean a better sacrifices. Everything's better. It's much more, much more, much more in the New Testament. So if the law of God set God's people apart 4,000 years ago, then why? How much more should the gospel set God's people apart now? But what has it become? Something totally foreign to true Bible Christianity.
Sin and religion. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, this is what I'm telling you. The Bible's full of it. 2 Corinthians 3, 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And that's the subject he's talking about. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious.
So, boy, Christians ought to be different kind of people than the world around them. And it ought to be obvious. They ought to have different moral character. They ought to have a different spiritual character. It ought to be real similar to God's. Ain't it funny how the world, this false religion, they talk about how God is love and they love God, but boy, they hate anybody that's like Him. That is funny, ain't it? It's funny, ain't it? That's a strange thing, that is. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now there's just no way that a person can reject the precepts of the law of God and the order God set forth there and at the same time be a new creature in Christ. You cannot reject the law of God and be a new creature in Christ. There's no way. Get it out of your mind, this idea that the law is separated from Christ somehow, and that it's a thing that God just done completely away with, and it don't matter anymore. Just tear it plumb out of your Bible. Don't read it. Don't worry about it. We got Christ now, and the Spirit leads us, and the Spirit convicts us, and we just go by feelings now. If we feel okay about something, it's okay. If we feel bad about something, it's not okay. And that's how we know. That's how we live. That's the road that's going to lead us to heaven. That's what everybody believes. And it'll lead you straight to hell. You trust in your own heart, and that's what you're doing. And you're a fool. And it'll end you up in hell. Now we got to have something more secure than that, more firm than that. We got to have something more sure than that. We got to have the Word of God. I've heard all my life, you know, your security, you know, your assurance is based on the Word of God. Well, you just got to know what it says and believe it and obey it. Then you'll have assurance. You ain't going to have no assurance any other way. You ain't going to have no assurance. Ain't going to have nothing but deceit and a messed up life going by feelings like we just talked about there. Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now don't be deceived in this evil day, where lies and hypocrisy abound. You listening to me? Don't be deceived. Children, don't be deceived by what's going on around us and all you hear. I'm going to tell you some things here. A person who has truly come to know Christ as their Savior from sin will find their place in a church somewhere with God's people. They will not be nomads and rebels who worship their own way. Now, you may find yourself in prison someday for being a Christian, and you can't go to church. That's not what we're talking about. You may find yourself separated from God's people some other way. There's people all around. I hear from them all the time. They live in a place and they can't, you know, they just, to go to church is a real, like we talked about last night, a painful experience. What I'm talking about here is people who just rebel and say, I don't like it. I don't like them people. I don't want to be around them. I don't have to go. I can be saved and study at home. I've heard people say they know more than all them preachers anyway. I read somewhere it said, I don't go to church. I'll just study the Bible on my own. Shows and proves that you don't study the Bible on your own. Or you'd find out right out of the gate in God's law. You start reading at the beginning, you'll find out right out of the gate that God laid down the law about public worship. That's what they were to do. It's part of being one of God's children. You gather with His people at the appointed times. Yeah. There wouldn't be any church. Wouldn't be any churches if everybody felt like that. If that was right, the way they say it and the way they practice it, there wouldn't be any churches. They would go extinct. But a person that has truly come to know Christ, now I believe that, you're going to try your best to find a place to go to church and be with God's people. Yeah. I was reading one of Durwood's posts the other day. He's had cancer and surgery and all that, and they'd missed church for 2 weeks, but they hated, they couldn't, they watched, listened to some preacher at home, but they couldn't wait to get back to church. They sure missed going to church. Well, that's the right attitude. A lot of people couldn't care less. They could never go to church the rest of their life and it'd be fine with them. And they think somehow they're going to die and go to heaven and be with those people that they don't want to be around here. They're going to be with them in heaven. What do they think? They think, I know what they think. They pass these poems around on the internet about all the drunks and the whoremongers and the thieves and everything else. Heaven's going to be full of them. And all these self-righteous church people ain't going to be there. That's the fantasy they're living in. Person that's truly born again is going to, they become a member of the body of Christ. It ain't just me and Jesus got our own thing going. That ain't the way it works. Never, never has in all of the history of God's working with man, all of the worship of God that has ever went on, it's never been that way. And it ain't now either. And it ain't going to be as long as this earth stands till Jesus comes. There's going to be that public worship, and you going to want to be a part of it if you're one of God's children. A person who's truly been born again by the Spirit of God will treat others with respect and love, not hatred and arrogance and disdain or apathy. The law of God lays these things. This is the order God's law lays out. This is the moral and spiritual character that God's law describes in His people. You're going to be a part of the body. You're going to worship with other believers, and you're going to treat other people right. You ain't going to hate them. You ain't going to treat them like they're garbage. You ain't going to go around thinking of everybody like that either. You're going to love people. That old-time religion that makes you love everybody, it's the right kind. That's the right kind. The kind that makes you hate everybody. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I've seen tons of people like that. They supposedly get saved and they become like some madman in among the people of God. They're out to destroy everybody and everything. They think God's called them to knock everything down and create havoc everywhere they go. Ain't no such thing as that.
That's right.
That's contrary to the basic order that God's law laid down. So a person that's truly born again, they're going to treat other people right. A person who's truly a child of God will live a morally pure life in private as well as public. They'll not be spiritual at church and perverted at home.
That's right.
Amen. So you're going to be a moral person. And your morals ain't going to be your own made up rules. You don't get to decide what is right and wrong.
That's right.
Neither do I. God's law tells us what is right and wrong. Now you either agree with God's law and obey God's law, or you're on your own without God. You can't just make it up as you go. Make up what you think. You can't just pick what you like and cull what you don't like. God gave this law and said, "You shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy." And he said, "I am the Lord your God," I think I saw 15 times in this chapter. Oh, well, let me see here. Where am I at here? God's people are holy. That's the whole object of God's law and the gospel. I hope you all see that. I hope that that's the message here tonight. What's the object of the law? What's the object of the law? What's the object of the gospel? To get you to heaven when you die? No, an extra thing, benefit, that comes from being born again. Being made a new creature in Christ. That's just a thing. That's an extra benefit. The real benefit is that you get delivered from your sin. Here and now. And you're not that same old person you always were. You look at God different. You look at God's people different. You look at what's right and wrong different. That's the benefit. All the hippies said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." No, the world needs Jesus. The world needs God. And they need it the right way. They need the law of God. And then they need to find Jesus. They're preaching Jesus with no law. They skip the law and preach some Jesus character that just is all sweet and sugar and spice and just forgives you everything, loves you, and puts up with anything you want to do, lets you do anything you want to do, live any way you want to, even to being a sodomite. And you don't have to go to church or have anything to do with it. And you can go to heaven when you die. That's where we've come to from this. What in the world? Somebody let down. Somebody failed in all of this. Along the line. Who left the gates open? And the church got filled with all of this heresy and doctrines of devils. Who let them in? God never had in mind simply taking us all to heaven with Him someday. He always had as His purpose to make sinful men holy, to make defiled men clean, and carnal men spiritual. That's what God's always had in mind. What's the leper? What does all that mean if that ain't true? Everything, every jot and tittle of the law screams this message. The Bible don't whisper anything. I read something, some woman, teacher, preacher, whatever she is, said that the Bible just whispered about homosexuality and screamed about other sins. Well, that's what I mean. They just make it up as they go. They're like the political junk that's going on. You just make it up. You just say it. I'm amazed at how it's that way in every area. You know, they've come up with this thing that a comet hit the earth millions of years ago and killed all the dinosaurs. So I saw a meme today and it said, "Dinosaurs, which one of the reindeers did the dinosaur hate the most? Comet." I mean, it's just a given. Somebody made that up out of their imagination, and it's been said and said and said, and so now it is a given. Everybody knows a comet hit the earth and destroyed the dinosaurs. We all know that. It just becomes a fact, like evolution. Now, same-sex marriage and all that, it's just, you know, okay. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's, Hitler said you just lie often enough, you say it enough, people believe it. Boy, if he didn't have it right. You don't have to tell people anything anymore more than 2 or 3 times, they believe it. No matter how absurd it is. He's always had as his purpose to make sinful men holy. Battle Hymn of the Republic. What's that line in that song that says? There you go. He died to make men holy. That's the way people used to understand, because that's the way it really is. It's been lost in on an apostate generation. This is life. And the opposite of these things is death. I mean, it's life when you're delivered from sin. What did Jesus come for? What was all this about if it's not to deliver us from the bondage of sin and being an enemy of God? Being restored from the creature that we were because of our sin into the likeness of God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Y'all know what this verse says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's the big difference? Holiness. Holiness. Any form or flavor of Christianity that does not believe in holiness is not of God. Take it to the bank. I'm telling you the truth. I say it so dogmatically and so forcefully, and yet people don't hear it. They don't believe it. They just don't get it. You understand what I'm telling you? Any kind of religion, no matter what they claim to be, Christianity or whatever, if they don't believe in holiness, that God's people are a holy people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, if you don't believe that, you're not of God. It's not real Christianity. It is a false religion. It's idolatry that's been made up. It's got a little bit of truth scattered through it. The devil does that every time that he does anything. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, any way you want to interpret that, any way you want to twist that, you can't get away from the fact that it states. Heaven is a holy place because a holy God lives there. And unholy people are not going to enter there. What is Jesus doing right now? He's preparing for himself a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. He's not going to work some kind of magic trick after he comes and pulls us out of the sewer and boom, shazam, and here you are. We're all changed into something that we never were before. But just magically, we're suddenly moral and spiritually pure when we never were here. That is not the way it's going to happen. He is what he's doing for eternity, he's doing right now. In churches just like this. With preaching just like this. And if you don't get it here, you ain't going to get it there. Right here is where eternity is decided. You shall be holy. He didn't say someday. He said right now. And then he gave a bunch of commandments here. Neither is any kind of Christianity that makes excuse for, tolerates, or misrepresents sin. It's not of God. Any kind of Christianity, any kind of religion that has anything to do with God is going to, sin is going to be the bad thing. I mean, it's going to be the thing that we're against. We're not for it. We're not excusing it. We're not soft on it. If you are, it's not of God. Jesus was never soft on sin. Yeah, big on forgiveness, yeah. But forgiveness requires repentance and forsaking of sin. It sure does. There's no such thing as forgiveness without it. But that's what everybody now believes. That's what preachers are preaching. That once you pray your sinner's prayer, or raise your hand and agree with somebody who prayed it for you, then, from then on, you're saved. And it don't matter what you do, you have been forgiven. So whatever sin you commit after that, you don't have to repent of because you done been forgiven. I've heard them say it. I've read where they wrote it. I see it all the time. That's what they believe. So sin is no big deal. And it did. And this, I don't know if they even call it salvation. They don't even use these words anymore. Atonement, salvation, forgiveness, that kind of stuff. They don't even use that anymore. It's just, you get a little Jesus. You talk about Jesus and say that word, Jesus, Jesus. And it's just like some incantation of some witch or something. That's the way they use it too. They don't believe it changes them at all. It doesn't change them at all. And they don't think it has to. They don't think it's possible. I saw a song in our book there just a minute ago. Just a sinner. That's what they believe. We're all sinners. Nothing's happened to change us. And nothing will either. As long as we're in this old flesh, this old rotten flesh, we're just sinners. See, you're blaspheming God. And everything that's in the Word of God from the very beginning, you're blaspheming God and contradicting God and His law and the gospel and everything in the New Testament and everything Jesus said. You're contradicting it by saying such stuff as that. What's God done for you if He hasn't cleansed you from your sin? If He hadn't made you a new creature? If you're not born again, if you're not keeping His commandments, because He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you're not doing none of that, how in the world can you imagine in your mind that you're going to go to heaven and live forever with God and God's people? How can you be so deceived? How can anybody miss this? I've been looking at this chapter for a few weeks, and I just... I can never get past the first two verses. There it is again. Everywhere I go in the Bible, there it is again.
Oh, just because that's what you want to see.
No, it's just the truth, man. The Bible screams it. God's people are holy people. Yeah. How do you know that if you're holy? What does the law of God mean to you?
Oh, nobody can keep His commandments.
He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments. This is New Testament, 1 John. Saith he knoweth, he that saith, he knoweth Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a what? A liar. That's what the Bible says. That ain't what Mike Miller says. That's what the Bible says in the New Testament. So anybody that hates the law, don't want the law, and thinks you're out from under the law and don't have anything to do with it anymore, and we're not law keepers, we're not under the bondage of the law, I ain't stupid, I know that. And if you think I don't, then you are. But the law is not, I mean, it is, the law still stands. The moral law of God stands. And it will, as long as there's a God in heaven, it'll stand. And so I am not going to speak against it. And I am not going to belittle it. And I'm not going to cast it out and say, let's just do what we feel. Mm-mm. Amen. Jesus said, you've heard it said in the old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, you've heard in the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, what did He loosen up everything? He made it much stronger. Because now the gospel, I mean, everything revealed. all the shadows are fled away. Now we can see clearly. It ought to set us apart even more. This message ought to be so clear to anybody that is experienced and obeyed the gospel. It ought to be clear as a bell to you. But this is the truth. God has always had the same object in mind. He's separating out for himself a people that are holy. That means in his likeness, in his image. Amen. All right, stand with me. I'll quit. I hope you get the message. Understand. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's so clear. Lord, I pray that it'd go somewhere. Pray somebody to hear it that would receive it and be helped. Lord, the water's so muddy and it's been polluted and so defiled by all the false teaching and the misrepresentation of people who are really not even converted in pulpits and in schools and colleges teaching generations here of people about this modern kind of believing that all this that I just said is not true. Please, Lord, speak to somebody like that and awaken them. Help us to understand and keep your word that we've heard tonight in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.